Welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McClavey welcoming you to a time of worship. This morning we will be hearing a message out of the Gospel of Mark. It's going to be a message about servanthood. During this season of Lent, we look at Jesus' life and the way that Jesus' life inspires each of us. And next Sunday, a week from this coming Sunday, of course, will be Palm Sunday. And then the following week will be that which we call Holy Week, concluding with Good Friday, and then, of course, the glorious Easter Sunday celebration. So we have a busy schedule ahead of us, but this morning we want to talk about Jesus and his servanthood and how we are inspired by his example. So before we begin, let us have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the example that Jesus has provided for us. He calls us to have a servant's heart, to be open to all of the ways that we can help others, how we can serve, how we can humble ourselves and be a servant as Jesus taught us. So we pray now that you will bless us with your presence and that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Following my message this morning, Alan Vest has prepared for us a great old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Certainly a favorite for many. So this morning, let us begin with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 40. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink, and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the word of the Lord. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, asked Jesus to let them have whatever they ask for. Can you imagine? Just think of that in the context of what we know today, that they would turn to Jesus and say, let us have whatever we ask for. "And what do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. And they replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Yes, talk about being presumptuous. James and John felt they deserved seats of honor. Jesus looks back at them and says, "You guys don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink?" Now bear in mind that this conversation is not just between two brothers. There are 10 others who are eavesdropping. They are also followers of Christ. They are disciples. And for that reason, Jesus launches into an extemporaneous speech about service because he wants to make it crystal clear that his disciples are to put others first. Service looks so distinctive, so countercultural, that when you serve, people take notice that there is something different about you, and that you march to a different drummer. Why should we take the culture that we have at church of volunteering and serving others and infuse that into our neighborhood? That's because that is what Jesus calls us to do. But you know, it's something that we should look forward to. It's something that we should take very seriously, because serving promotes unity. You know that in years past, we have done a thing called Unity in the Community. This church has been a part of that. And it truly was a time when we were drawn together, various congregations and civic organizations in our community, when we came together to do things for the community. We served, and no one wanted to take credit. So serving promotes unity. Anytime that you take the focus off of self and place it on others, we are humbling ourselves. The foundation of unity is humility. Jesus says in Matthew 23, verses 11 and 12, "The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." And that's why the psalmist says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." So we are called to use our gifts to His glory. Look for ways to serve others. Our labors of love indeed count eternally. And there's another reason to serve. Serving fosters teamwork. I enjoy trying to look for ways to build relationships. Serving can take a relationship and add something special to it that is so necessary. It causes us to have a deep personal relationship. Service is an expression of grace to someone. It's an undeserved gift that we give to others. But most of all, it is a glimpse of the gospel. And in fact, service is the language of grace. But you have to be ready to step up and serve at the drop of a hat sometimes. Jesus always looks for those opportunities, and we have to have eyes and ears that are always open and always listening for whatever needs might arise. We have to be ready to respond. And when we serve, we realize how much we need each other. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And indeed, serving imitates Jesus. We want people to see his reflection in our lives. And that's why our example is so important. Albert Schweitzer once said, "Example is not the best way of teaching, it is the only way." And so, guard your example. People are watching to see how we live. And in time, hopefully, they will learn that we have actually fallen in love with this person named Jesus Christ, and he has transformed us. He has transformed our hearts. We now are in possession of a servant's heart. John 13 illustrates Jesus' concern with service. Yes, it was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus intended to talk about and show his disciples' love. At this time, Judas Iscariot was still there. He had not yet left to go betray Jesus. He was still seated around the table with the other disciples. This was the night prior to Good Friday. This was the night when they were gathered for the Last Supper. They had already sat down for the meal, but it had become quite obvious that someone was conspicuously absent. Now, the servant who typically sat at the front door of anyone's home, whose job was to wash the feet of the dinner guests, was nowhere to be found. You know, we don't know. Maybe it was because it was Passover and he was observing the meal with his family. Whatever the reason, no one had washed the disciples' feet as they came in, and this was tradition. But in their peripheral vision, they saw someone kneeling and taking off his outer garment, only to realize that this person with a towel and a basin of water was the one they believed to be God's Son. He becomes their servant. Here's the Son of God going from person to person washing feet. I don't know about any of you, I have been a part of a foot washing service on a couple of occasions. And I want to tell you, it is very uncomfortable. It makes people very uncomfortable to allow someone else to wash their feet. I can only imagine what the disciples were feeling. Servanthood is neither glamorous nor glorious, but it's not about us. It's about Jesus, and it's about others. Every time we serve, every time we do a modern-day equivalent of washing feet, we are imitating Jesus. In time, the people in our neighborhood may start to see the resemblance if we serve the way Jesus Christ served. Have you ever wondered how your servant heart could soften the hearts of others, hearts so that they would be open to the gospel? Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 12, "Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled." Richard Foster, the contemporary theologian and expert in the field of spiritual formation, says this: "There is a difference between choosing to serve and choosing to be a servant. When I choose to serve, I retain control about whom I serve and when I serve. But when I choose to be a servant, I have given up all rights and all control. In other words, service is not about adding another activity to our schedules. It's not deciding when we will be a servant. It's not deciding when it will be convenient. No, it's about fleshing out servanthood and where God has placed us and being ready at any given moment. And let me offer one more reason why we should serve. Serving changes us. It changes us. If we serve with an attitude of love, and if we sense that Christ is the one who is receiving the glory, then the sky is the limit for what we can accomplish. It was Francis of Assisi who said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." And I want to remind you of one more biblical truth. Jesus lives in our neighborhood. He lives in the form of the person who needs to know that they are loved, that they have value and are treasured. Jesus is the one who is lonely or grieving, the one who is hungry or cold. It was Jesus in Matthew 25, verse 40, who said, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me." Jesus Christ is in our neighborhood, and he's waiting for us to reach out and to serve. Sometimes Jesus calls us to service even when it's not convenient, and sometimes when it's not easy. Anytime I think about serving God, I have to be reminded of a classmate of mine in seminary. He was an inspiration to us all. His name was Tony Winter. Tony had been in a car accident when he was 14 years old and had been paralyzed from the waist down ever since. But yet he was called to pastoral ministry. Jesus had called him to be a servant. And I know in seminary I used to marvel at Tony. I actually felt guilty, especially on those days when I was feeling especially pressured with deadlines and classes and late-night library episodes. Tony always seemed to show up. And he was cheerful. And on those mornings when I was rushing to get to class on time at 8 o'clock, Tony was always there ahead of me. And I always had to remind myself that for me it was easy to get up in the morning and to get ready and to go to my car and to drive to campus and get to class. Tony had to do it all from a wheelchair and get his wheelchair into his vehicle and drive himself to campus and then get his wheelchair out and wheel himself to the classroom. And he was always there ahead of me. And I am reminded of the final paper that we had to prepare for one of our major classes in winter semester. And it was snowing. The paper was due at 5 o'clock on a Friday evening in the professor's office. And I was working furiously at home in my apartment, racing the deadline. And I'd finished the paper. I had just enough time to get down to my car and drive through the snow to the campus and walk to the professor's office to turn in my paper. And as I was walking down the sidewalk, I looked over and there was Tony, pushing his wheelchair through 2 inches of snow with his paper in his lap. Yes, once again, he was ahead of me. I checked with Tony not long ago. I looked him up to find out where he was these days. Tony is now a hospital chaplain. Well, of course he is. That's what God called him to be, was a servant to those who are sick, who are in pain. So we will never know how much our service can impact others until we humbly pick up a towel and a basin of water and ask God to give us a servant's heart. During this season of Lent, as we think about the example that Jesus has been to all of us, his example of servanthood, we recognize that his greatest act of servanthood is yet before us. It will come on Good Friday. It will be the day that we remember that he died for us on a cross. To the glory of Christ, our servant King. Amen. Friends, this morning in our sanctuary, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper. It will be a glorious time of not only renewing our vows of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, but also remembering the sacrifice that he made for each of us. And so, for those of you who are listening at home, I hope that you will take a moment to ponder the Last Supper and what it was that Jesus did for his disciples when he picked up a towel and a basin of water and he washed his disciples' feet. That was all a part of the celebration of the Last Supper. And now we're going to hear a great old hymn that has been arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Let us now worship with "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Great is thy faithfulness.
Thanks to Alan for another great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Well, friends, as we get closer to Holy Week and the time when we will truly be remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, let us be reminded of the scripture passage that we read today from the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus tells us that whoever wants to be first must be a servant of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Wow, what a message to ponder this coming week. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.